I'm not sure if it'll continue today, but this would be a tarps off kind of day in the stands. Would it not be?
Okay, where did this start from? That was one of my questions that I had highlighted. Every once in a while over the weekend, like something so I don't forget. And I don't think I would forget this one, but I just write it in my little notepad on my phone. And I'm like, tarps off, shirts off. Where did this come from?
Well, it's kind of a college football thing that has somehow made its way to Major League Baseball. And most recently, the Milwaukee Brewers series against the Dodgers. They had like 35, 40,000 people at the ballpark when the Dodgers were in town over the weekend. And all of a sudden, he had a rowdy group of folks up in the left field bleachers with no shirts on. I don't know where it started specifically, but it made its way to Milwaukee.
I mean, can we bring in Adam McAlvey?
Tarps on for
Brewers. Adam. Brewers.com beat writer. I know I was going to say the same. Adam, I've got to say that this looks like just innocent fun, honestly. It looks like they were having fun. I know some people were saying it kind of brought up some issues or whatnot, but what have you seen from your point of view?
Yeah, and it's not just here. It started in baseball in St. Louis with the Cardinals are good again and really trying to bring people back to the ballpark. And a group of fans, you know, took this initiative and went tarps off in the upper deck. And it sort of became a huge story in St. Louis. And they were in the clubhouse and the whole thing. And the Cardinals have embraced it. The struggle for the Brewers, frankly, is that during this Dodgers series, there were people seated in every section. And I know there was some, you know, on social media, some tarps off fans weren't happy because they got stopped trying to get into that section. And I think the Brewers were trying to figure out, how do you let people, you know, go in this section for something that's really cool and this grassroots thing that they love and everybody loves, when you have people who paid for those tickets and it's not as easy as just having them move. That sounds easy, and then it's harder to do when you're trying to give them a ticket somehow. So I think a team like the Brewers, that is blessed to have great attendance, are struggling to figure that out. And that was one of the things that they stressed about over the weekend. But we had a big tarps off contingent yesterday against St. Louis, and I think it's going to keep going.
Well, it makes all the sense in the world. You get Miz on the mound. You've got Monday. The sun is out. You got the Cardinals in town, a second place team. You know, and all of a sudden, you're looking at Miz as like something you mentioned about a year ago. They think this guy can be Hall of Fame good. They think he is that good. And I that really caught my attention, Adam, when you said something like that, because you don't do that unless it's warranted, unless you really believe that's what the team thinks. Well, here he is, and he's got 100 strikeouts, you know, just over a month and a half into the season. He's been nothing short of phenomenal. The league usually punches back. Nobody has punched back against him yet.
Well, it's hard to punch back when he's throwing 103.4, whatever, and it's being released kind of like on you. He has this extension because he's 6'7". That's a huge part of pitching, and it's all measured now by StatCast. You can look at extension from all the pitchers, and it's a big part of success for a lot of guys. When you combine those two things, it's just really hard to do anything with it. You have to hope it's one of those days where he's not commanding the baseball. And yesterday, he walked the leadoff guy. He had the big velo, but he walked the leadoff hitter, and it was like, uh-oh, what is this day going to be like? And then he locked back in, and he starts on this strikeout spree. You know, to be a Hall of Famer, it's this combination of stuff, number one, talent, the mind for it, command of the baseball, health. Those are the things that come to my mind. And, you know, Jacob Mizorowski, the rookie, didn't have all of those things. He certainly didn't have command of the baseball in the second half of last season. The mind for this is still growing, right? He's learning how to use this stuff. And in the major leagues, you have all these advanced tools where everything's measured and they can hone in on the smallest thing. He's got different a level of assistance to take that next step when he's in the big leagues. So, man, if he can stay healthy, this is a monster. And it's really special. And I'll tell you, when they do the introductions, they're different right now. When Mizorowski comes up, it's loud. And that's always the sign to me that, like, the casual fan, the parents and kids,
yes,
like, he's captured everybody's imagination right now. And you hear that in the ballpark.
Yeah, the Miz definitely raising the bar here. It's probably something about his family jeans, but I also see that you have a story, Adam, about his blue jeans. What does that have to do with it?
Jim Henderson, one of their great pitching coaches, gave me this little nugget yesterday, and Mizorowski had already kind of departed to do his post-work post-pitch work and shower and all that stuff. So I couldn't ask him about it. So I pinning this fully on Jim Henderson, that there was a bullpen maybe 3 weeks into the season where he started throwing 99 in the bullpen, which you don't see when you don't have the adrenaline of the crowd and everything. It's very, very rare. And they started just to see him grow into this body. If you think about when he first came up last year, Pat Murphy called him a baby giraffe, and you can picture what that looks like. He's bigger now, and you can see the work that he put in the offseason, because pitching starts with your legs. Velo comes from your legs. It has very little to do with your arm. And he spent a lot of time working on his lower half, his lower body. And Henderson said the pitching coaches joked that he looks like he needs bigger jeans. And according to Jim Henderson, he did need bigger jeans, but he's up two sizes in his pants because he's just grown. His lower half has grown. And that's where this velo is coming from. That's how he's throwing 102.4 in the seventh inning yesterday. He had that cramping issue in some other starts. He's kind of powered through that. And I asked Jim Henderson about, like, at what point did you believe this is real? And he said, you know, at some point when he's doing it and you're watching it, you just believe because he's shown it. And it's almost like Jacob Mizorowski had to show himself that this is what he's capable of in terms of sustaining this deep into games. That's what makes it so special. It's not 103 in the first inning, which he did 8 times yesterday. Nobody's ever done that.
Wow.
Under the tracking that we have. It's 102 in the seventh. That's more impressive. That's the story about what he's doing here. And he's mixing in those other pitches. He's commanding a slider. He's dropping a curveball when he needs to. He is a really, really tough opponent right now. And again, if this guy stays healthy, he has a chance to be really special.
If it weren't for Miz, maybe the best story on the team would be the guy starting tonight, Kyle Harrison, who's got an ERA of 1.77. Only Sabathia in 2008 had a better ERA through his first 9 starts as a Brewer. I mean, this guy's been incredible too. My worry here, Adam, is that when you get toward the trade deadline or you get into the offseason, people are going to see Matt Arnold's number pop up in their cell phone, and other GMs aren't even going to answer anymore. Like, I'm done with this team, right? That they take our guys and turn them into all-stars. What the heck?
Well, yeah, that is put that in the good problem to have category, I think. And, you know, David Stearns, he certainly made some regrettable trades as well, but he made more good trades than bad, and he kind of had that reputation as well. And it shows that they've built a system here where they are able to evaluate stuff and put it through their little computer. It's not a little computer, their system for projecting what guys can be. And they're able to identify one or two things. Number one, they're able to identify some tweaks that can take a guy to the next level. And Kyle Harrison has made some changes, including a split changeup that he's throwing and had success with. But then the key to that is you have to communicate it to the player in a way that is understandable, executable, and get buy-in from the guy. And I think it's one of these cycles of success. Once you have, go all the way back to like Chase Anderson and Zach Davies. They unlocked something in those guys that they became a better pitcher in Milwaukee than they were elsewhere. It leads to the next. You make Corbin Burnes into a Cy Young winner after in 2019 he was statistically maybe the worst pitcher in the National League as he was learning how to use his stuff. You turn Freddy Peralta into this perennials, 200-inning, 200-strikeout type pitcher. You do it over and over, and it's more likely that you're going to get buy-in from a Kyle Harrison when he comes into a new organization. That's not automatic, and every organization does not have that, and that's part of the secret to what they've done here. And then it goes to credit the guy. I mean, credit Kyle Harrison. When you're in a sentence with CC Sabathia in Milwaukee, you're doing something very, very good.
I've got to ask you, too, anybody in the clubhouse talking about the Bob Uecker mural that's going up in downtown Milwaukee?
No, but because I want to go see it today because I saw our friend Susan Kim posted that they're starting on the detail. And I drive past that every day on my way to I-94. So I am really curious to go by and see that today. And I'll have to get some stuff and we'll do a story because everybody's done that story and I'm a little behind on this. We'll get it in the Brewers newsletter because it looks awesome. And everyone who's driven past there knows that's a super visible spot as you're driving. So It's very, very cool, and I'll go check it out today.
Yeah,
it is
it's
massive.
Awesome.
It is so cool looking.
We've reported on it here at 620, but I think it's just one of those things that people are talking about downtown, and I was curious at the ballpark. So I saw it the other day as I was going by, and I was hoping that it would be a red light so I could take a picture from a like I was just driving. Sure enough, it was a red light, so I'm like... Very cool in the Wintrust building. It's awesome. It's going to be great to have.
Well, the Brewers are a first-place team right now. The Cardinals are behind them. Meanwhile, the Cubs have lost 9 straight for those keeping score at home. So the Brewers begin the day 11 games above 500 and looking to make that 12 tonight. Adam McAlvey will be at the ballpark. Tarps on for Adam. Maybe roof open tonight for a nice night of baseball against the Cardinals.
I saw Bernie waving. I don't know that he actually had a shirt, but he was doing something as though he was waving his shirt around the other day. So Bernie was getting in on it too. I think that was yesterday.
Tarps off for the mascot.
He was like, tarps
too.
Off, hey. Tarps off, woo woo.
Yeah, no more later, Jose.
The rules in the press box are no cheering in the press box and tarps on, please.
Okay, yeah, the new sign
on,
is
please.
Going up today. Adam McAlvey covers the Brewers for Brewers.com. Check out his work online. We appreciate it, Adam.
Good
Thank
stuff,
you.
Adam.
All right, talk to you guys next week.